I don't know. I have to go back and listen, and then we can solve this.
I don't know, Scooby. We're going to have to crack into this.
Hi, this is Joe Field, the founder of Free Comic Book Day and Flying Colors Comics in Concord, California, and you are listening to the Comic Pop Library.
Today is the day when the sun's on our home. Finally, the night will come out to say hello. Oh, the war that never ends still wages on today. But tonight, the fight will stop and we'll celebrate. Hey! Everybody has their own version of what's just. Maybe war is something that is natural for us. But even the people that fill me with hate have their reasons to live their life that way. Dragonite, 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 tonight all of us will sing together like we're best of friends. Moonlight, starry skies, firebirds, tonight let's dance, everybody, until the sunrise. Today is the day when the sun sets on our home. Finally, the night will come out to say hello. Oh, the war that never ends continues for eternity.
Sorry.
Beautiful.
It killed me.
That makes me just want to go to a festival.
I know. I literally want to put that on and get in the van and just drive straight to a Ren Faire. I don't care where.
Just drive in general, though. Like, yeah. Like that's a song that I'd sit in the car when I'm in my.
But I'd like to be in some green hilly country. That would make it even better.
I'd rather be
anywhere in Ireland. Yeah.
I don't know if I see an Ireland with it. Not that you can't listen to it in Ireland. Ireland, you listen to whatever you want.
Thank you.
Okay.
We and Ireland will.
And wherever you want.
That's right. Except for I can't listen to it in Ireland because.
All right. Here we go. In 3, 2. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Rockin' in the Dirt, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April
and Jonathan
and Lenny.
And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at the J-pop group Sakai no Owari. They are brought to us by Black Panda PR, and we want to thank Amanda Carney Harris for allowing us to listen to their music. This is going to be a little bit of a different episode for Rockin' in the Dirt. We have 4 spotlight songs we're going to be looking at. This J-pop group has made 4 songs that they've just started and translated into English. So we're going to spotlight each song and talk about each song and music video because we thought it deserved a little bit more discussion than some of the other stuff. But with that, we are going to turn it over to April.
Yeah, so this is Sakai no Owari, and in English that translates to end of the world, and I'm like already starting off on a good foot, you know, anything that's dark, I'm a love. And that first song you listen to is Dragon Knight. It's, I think that one's my favorite for it all, but
I'm torn. I have,
so am I. Yeah. Yeah, it's between Dragon Knight and SOS, which we'll get to. But yeah, so like Dad said, we're going to focus more on video as well as music, just because in general we don't usually get video with it.
Yeah, we usually only get audio, yeah. So we can't. Focus
so this
on video.
Is so refreshing.
We always would do this if we could.
And so to talk about the band itself, the band is 4 members. It's Nakajin, who's the lead singer, lead guitar, and sound production. Fukasi, who's the lead vocals and group conceptualist. Sori, who's the stage production and pianist. And then they have the masked clown, which you'll find that Jonathan's favorite member,
yeah.
DJ Love, who is on the Sonic palette, and he's a comedic, you know, element to stage.
That's fun.
Life.
As you all know, I love clowns.
That's right. So DJ Love, we give you Jonathan's love. He loves you.
Yeah.
So
that might be all you get. It's that little bit.
As long as you stay away from me, stay like 100 feet away from me, I'll be fine. Other than that, yeah, no love for me.
But
he seriously beat up a guy at one of my kids' parties. It was terrible.
But this guy, this guy, geez, now you got me off on the wrong. This guy. This group is so it's the four people, and uncommonly they were childhood friends, so they've known each other their whole life.
That is very uncommon.
I don't know who would want to be friends with the clown, but
I'm pretty sure he wasn't born that way. I don't know.
All clowns are born that way. It's genetic.
It is.
Yeah.
Like you thought.
Yeah, we had the biggest clown right here, right next to me.
That was manic makeup. Oh, I can't say things. Anyway, so this group started from ground zero, and they actually started by managing
literally at ground zero.
Yeah, yep, the mobs will get together and they just beat on the stomach. Let's get this rhythm going. And then they came out and said, okay, now we got instruments.
Their moms went to too many clubs while they were pregnant, right?
Yep.
There you go.
And but they actually started by first starting up and managing a live music venue called Club Earth in Japan, and that helped them spring forward and develop Sakai no Owari. And they're actually a very, very big group in Japan right now.
They're very big with me, too, so great.
Well, and that's the thing. They haven't debuted officially worldwide yet, and they do have an album, though, that's in the middle of production that they have on schedule for 2016 at some point.
But they have the one song that's on the motion picture, right?
Right, and that's SOS, which is on the motion picture Attack on Titan, one of theirs.
They do have a Japanese album out.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have two albums out.
Oh, they have two. I know they have Tree,
but they're not worldwide.
Yeah, Tree is their second. Yeah, and but they have.
But they going worldwide.
They have branched out a little worldwide. They've tasted a little bit. They worked with Al City's Adam Young, which I mean, it's one person. But yeah, so
he is one person.
Know him either or. They collaborated.
Everybody's
with him.
One person when they're by themselves.
And then they also took part in the MTV World Stage in Malaysia, which was actually the first Japanese artist to do that. So they are breaking walls with.
Yeah. I appreciate it, but is it Malaysia or Malaysia?
I don't know. It's probably Malaysia.
I like Malaysia better. Richard knows why.
Well, this is one. The name of the group is kind of interesting as well. Yeah. When the translated,
it's End of the World. Yeah,
End of the World is translation,
which
of
I
the
love. Like I said,
name.
You know,
I like it better in Japanese.
True. Wow.
Yeah. But so yeah, and with because they've had in Japan alone, their TV shows, commercials. They've sold out tours. They've they held concerts at the Nissan Stadium, which is their biggest arena. It holds around 70,000 people in it and everything. So
that is dope.
So yeah, I honestly think if they came out, if they decided to like debut here, and they to me, Dragonite is the perfect song to debut with because it's so fun and upbeat and lighthearted. I mean, not that it's per se their greatest masterpiece. But it's what's going to get people interested in, like, because we were dancing.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was dancing to all of it, but I really think, and I'm not saying Dragonite isn't an awesome song.
Yeah, no, I love this song.
It is an awesome song, and you're right. I think it would do great on American radio.
But radio quality. Yeah, yeah.
And I think that, based on in certain venues it wouldn't, but I think that, for like, at least a while, that Mr. Heartache could be a one-hit wonder, and put them on that number one pedestal.
See, but I wouldn't. Yeah, that's why I wouldn't put that one first out. Because
I definitely wouldn't put it out first. But I think if they're gonna hit like number one on the billboards, it's gonna be with Mr. Heartache.
Well, see, I think this one would hit number one as well.
I think they both really could, but I think Mr. Heartache would do it first.
Mm-hmm.
Let's arm wrestle over it.
Okay.
Well, with the song, it's a fun song, catchy song, but it does have serious lyrics.
Yeah. All of them do.
Oh, but they're positive, serious lyrics, so which I appreciate.
Yeah, I love that. They're all deeply metaphorical.
Because Dragonite specifically, talks about, even the people that picked on me and all that, they have a reason to live and everything and all that. And then Dragonite, they're just, everyone's going to have fun and be friends tonight.
Can I do my interpretation?
Party.
Like, I kind of see it like as, I thought of it while it was playing, a dystopian kind of futuristic world, but, from if it was envisioned in Japan instead of here. and you know, and like it has that quality, like a poppy Hunger Games or something like that. I don't know, like that isn't what I thought of originally, kind of along those lines. I can't remember which one I was thinking of a specific dystopic.
There's Divergent. Is it a popular one? Or
it's popular, yeah.
Okay.
But I can't think of it.
Hunger Games.
In the video, this is one where they're kind of around a campfire. Mm-hmm. They're kind of all dressed up, kind of like a carnival show.
Yeah. In a sense.
And there's not a whole lot of lights, so it gives you that feeling that something's happened because it's like no electricity is going on.
See, I actually just...
Oh, that's what made me think of Ireland. What it made me think of was the end of... That's so rude. I have friends in Ireland.
So do I, yeah.
They have some electricity, okay?
You're the one who said
that. I did not say that. I said it made me think of Ireland because I was just thinking of that general area, like Northern Europe, because of that's the movie it was. Because
it's such a...
It was the dystopia of the world's end, specifically, that I was thinking of when I was watching that.
We're sorry.
The very end of that very silly movie, which is mostly about a bar crawl, it turns into this total dystopia.
And
very similar to that video as far as like the way it looks. Just shut up.
There's no way out of that hole either. I didn't get dystopia from this. I'd got, you know, just a group of friends and everything going out to a bonfire in the middle of nowhere. You know, like maybe if you were in the desert or something. You know, dancing, like if you lived in Arizona, to me that'd be the perfect time to go out and have a bonfire in the desert and just party it up.
Yeah, it could just be a party.
But I could see that. Part of it is true. And part of it was what I got was the translation of the group's name is spotlighted in a neon sign, the end of the world. And then the song itself talks about war and what's just. And so that kind of gives that, I think, lends to what Lenny's talking about and what I'm talking about.
So it's like you could, this is such a versatile song because you can listen to it when you want to think deep. You can listen to it when you just want to have fun. How cool. But yeah, and I do appreciate with all of the videos that their quality and their production value is so nice. Like if you put this beside an English music video, an American one, anything,
to me
I put this on
and
the level
stuff.
I put this with Fun's music videos.
Right.
Fun always has great music videos, and that's kind of the level that I'm on with.
I think that the music is a little bit similar in this song too. I was then specifically with Some Nights, but yeah.
With Fun and I get a ton of Owl City off of them too.
Yeah.
You know, which I love both groups, so I'm happy. we can rock.
To explain some of the elements, we talked about DJ Love and the carnival-esque atmosphere. One of the things is that over in Japan, they call themselves as a collective Tokyo Fantasy, and they put on these elaborate stage shows and live performances
costumes. And be in one of those videos. Pretty much, that's awesome.
And they said, at venues,
I'm getting to Tokyo.
Like a treehouse almost, and it's the magical, you know, it's Tokyo Fantasy.
And this started out just these people just totally independent. I mean, obviously they've grown out of that into a mainstream. Entity, but they started out totally independent. I think that's cool.
And to me, I think the coolest part is that they're childhood friends because a lot of the time
I don't have any childhood friends. So
I know, neither do I.
I want to quit talking about that.
I have acquaintances.
But
I would have acquaintances if I quit ignoring them. No, I'm just kidding. I do have some childhood
friends. It's so rare. I mean, you always hear, we met in high school, college, you know, we got pushed together by managements and all that. And not only are they childhood friends, but they're still going strong today. You know, they haven't had like 4 years of working together, 5 years. They've had a lifetime of working together in some aspect, you know, maybe not always in this Sekai no Owari aspect, but you know, school and all this. So, you know, to me, that's really cool when, because they know each other so well.
To me, that's what rock and roll really is. It's when, like, you know, like Rolling Stones, when a couple of guys get together, or, you know, females too, of course, and they just, you know, they want to have fun and do their own thing and kind of create their own world. and then other people appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And it seems like when, you know, whenever really great ones are up there on the stage or on a video or on the radio, you know, you can tell that they're doing that for the love that it's in that. Mm-hmm. And that's what's partially so much fun about listening to these guys. Because from the very first moment I listened to the first song and watched the first video, I knew that this was high quality. It wasn't, you know, I was really going to be entertained. And it was mm-hmm. partially because of the enthusiasm that they brought to their mm-hmm. projects.
So we're going to take a break for the next song we're going to discuss. Lenny's already kind of broached it, and it's going to be Mr. Heartache.
Yep.
Yeah. Whenever you have somebody jamming into it on the radio, and then you're like, you like the song, and they're like, yeah, and you're like, you know, that's One Direction, right?
True.
They're like, what? I hate this song.
I hate One Direction. No, you don't.
I'll admit I like them. I mean, they got some good music.
You can say that they're not good and you're a liar, but you know, you can say you don't like them. I can appreciate that, but I do. I think they're, you know, I don't like all their songs.
I like them as a band personally, but they have some good songs.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't hang out with them personally.
Yeah, I don't, you know.
If I was hanging out with those guys personally, I'd have a whole different set of problems, fool.
You'd probably be asking them for cars and TVs like that.
Maybe I just want straight cash. Yeah, I just want straight cash.
You don't know much about me, Jonathan. It's sad.
Oh, wait, I forgot. You'd be asking them for world peace and...
Oh, hell no. That's I'd like be
when my
not Lenny.
My uncle asked me because he had
that's wrong again.
My uncle asked me for Christmas what I wanted, and I was like, money. Like, I just want cold hard cash.
I asked Lenny like what kind of gifts he would like for Christmas. He's like, world peace and stuff like that. I have the messages to prove it.
That's
too.
True. I'm not saying that.
But anyway, anyways, back to it.
Yep. That was
Mr. Heartache.
And that was Mr. Heartache. This is the one that Lenny mentioned before that could be another number one pop hit for him.
Will be.
And this will be. This is the one that we first were introduced to through the website. That's one that's back in our feed. And this is where I automatically went to Owl City.
Yeah, biggest Owl City hit. And to me, I love all of it. I love all Owl
City.
You
just spilled tea all over
I know. It's a ha ha ha.
Well, I'm glad we're not childish.
You see, this is when we need the video. But
anyway,
this is the first song I was introduced to, and to me the only thing about it is that to me, the voice is so techied up, and it's got so much synth going on with it that it makes it a little hard to understand the words. And now that I've listened to it a few times, it's not as sharp and jarring to my ears. Like, I've gotten used to the tech side of it, but it's still a little hard to understand the words just because they've put so much tech on it. But I don't think that's a common problem they have, because in all of the other songs, I don't have that problem. I think that was a desired effect.
There isn't as much synth on the other songs.
So,
and in that one, I don't think there's any.
Yeah.
Anti-hero? So, I don't think there's any synth.
That's a completely different style.
Like I said, whenever that one came on, I was like, okay, now I'm confused.
Yeah. But don't take that as a God, I hate you, because no, that's like the smallest critique in the world. I mean, because I still love the song. I mean, it's a great song.
I really fell in love with synth when Cher did it. What was that, 95? And I was still a little kind of a younger person. And
I know what song Believe. You're talking about. Yeah, Believe in Love or Believe in Song.
I think it's just Believe, but do you believe in love?
After love.
Yep. And then after Bo Burnham, then I was just like, I love synth. No, I mean, I think it's cool, though. And I turned on this. I don't know if the subtitles were just turned on the video, or I just watched the video, and the very first time I watched it and listened to it through, I just read all the words, and then I didn't need to pick up the word, so I could just enjoy it.
Yeah.
And to me, I've watched that video way too many times today, I spent a lot of time psychoanalyzing the actual material of the video, which we can either get into or not.
Oh, part of it was I got a different vibe than April did a little bit. I saw it as the guy approaching a girl at the very beginning. He's too scared, but she's already got a boyfriend. And then he slinks back. He's heartbroken, and the Mr. Heartache comes in as part of his subconscious. It's
making fun
person.
Of him.
Right. And
he's all sad.
And this is where J-pop just has fun, and the Japanese culture and their music of the J-pop has fun. They just,
he's got this pink Elvis hairstyle.
They just go wild and have fun with their music.
Yeah, that was awesome. I thought he was an awesome character in the video, and I get what you're saying. Like I also believe that metaphorically, Mr. Heartache, I'm using air quotes, is a part of his mentality, and like he's like not more than just something, some guy that just showed up to help him out, like as he says in the song, you've been here my whole life. And what he's saying is, I think this is the metaphor. I could be wrong, but I think what he's trying to say with the song and why it speaks to me so much is that your heartache is exactly what you need to move on. Your heartache is exactly, like the things that hurt are, it's because you want it. It's you want love, so it hurts when you don't get it. You want success, so failure hurts.
Yeah.
And that heartache drives you, and so it is like a friend.
Right.
It hurts. It's like a friend that's annoying and jumps up and down on your bed by your pillow while you're sleeping and rolls their crotch and butt around your head while you're sleeping. But you love them anyway.
Yeah.
Well, and when you are awake, you'll want to dance around and do awesome stuff with them. And I totally dug that. And that to me, that metaphor was very powerful.
And it showed a growth through the video. It started out with, it showed with a growth through the video, because you can see the transition where from the beginning of the video, he's not accepting of Mr. Heartache. He's like, get out my face, get out my house, I don't like you, all that and everything. And he was very sad and dejected. And then by the end of it, there's that part where they slow motion circle and they're touching palms and everything. And I think that's where it clicked. And then they had their little
moment.
Yeah. Moment. And that's when that signified his, okay, I'm going to embrace this as another part of me and make me better for it. And then he accepts him from then on. And I love that.
I can feel you. I have a little bit different feeling on that, but I want to hear what Jonathan has to say.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you guys watch Family Guy or not.
I do.
But
time.
There was not last week's episode, but the week before that, they had gone up to Japan because Quagmire had done a Japanese soap opera.
Okay.
And
this should get interesting fast, folks.
Well, it was a soap opera.
Yes, I knew it. I loved
that he had started when he was in the war. Well, they had lost the final tape, so they went up to Japan to look for the final tape, and they found his coworker. Well, it ended up that he and his coworker had been in love, and he was going to stay there.
What?
And they ended up
revelations from Family Guy.
Cleveland, Peter,
spoilers, people,
and
spoilers.
Joe ended up talking him into going back to Quahog by doing a J-pop video.
Oh my god!
Okay. That's awesome. Okay, I knew there was going to be a tie-in. Yeah. I knew he was leading us way out there, and he was baiting us really hard. But I knew he was fixing to set that hook, and there it came.
Can I tell you all this story I've been trying to tell after Jonathan?
This kind of reminded me of that one episode of Family Guy, so I thought it was kind of cool.
No, that totally worked. Go ahead.
You know you've made it when you're compared to Family Guy. Oh yeah.
Now, all right, now anyways, we got to hear from April,
I'll
who
tell
hasn't
you
had
what,
a turn
this
to talk.
Is completely irrelevant to everything we've been talking about. Like I'm casting you out, but I'm gonna just leave you there hanging. I'm just gonna leave you bobbing. Well, I tried, and then we just kept being professional. Try to fit it in somewhere.
Go for it.
Today, we had a forensics practice, which surprisingly isn't the scientific forensics. It's the acting type of forensics. And we were doing IDA, which is an improv acting, yep. You know. So my partner and I were in the auditorium practicing, and we had turned on, like, the back lights, but it was, you know, mm-hmm. It's still creepy. It's an auditorium. I mean, it's empty and everything. And this is after school. All the other rest of the team is doing their own thing, practicing elsewhere. And all of a sudden, we start hearing these high heel clicks.
Is it all of a sudden or all of these sudden?
I don't know.
It's a Kansas accent. Go for it, April.
Anyway,
we hear these high heels clicking.
We hear these high heel clacks. Like, yeah, when they're walking. Okay? But they're not stationary. They're like walking towards us.
Is this a ghost story? Because I don't believe
in ghosts. This is a ghost story.
Oh, my God.
They're walking towards us, all right? And we sat there for a good 2 minutes or so, minute or two, like waiting for, like, who's going to, like...
So was it, like, 2 minutes or was it, like, a minute or two or one or two or which was it?
Minute and 45 seconds.
Whoa.
Okay, so we're waiting to be, like, who's coming in, okay? And then... No, it's nothing's happening, and it just continues. But we can hear it getting closer. So we literally look at each other and we sprint so hard out of there. I hit my face on the door; it kind of hurt. Oh my god!
Oh my god! That's the best part of that story.
I had a heart attack. But see, then everybody else we like took track. Who else is here? Everybody else was in the vocal room. Our teacher, who's the only one that would have been wearing heels, was wearing flats, and there was nobody else there.
That is cool. That's an interesting story. Now, what I wanted to say in response to that is, back to Mr. Heartache. I don't necessarily agree with you. I think that he was like he. I don't think that there was a turning point in the song. I think that it was just like, you know, like it's a personification. But in his world, in the video, in his mind, the man is completely personified like a real person.
Yeah.
Like in his fantasy or whether he's actually manifested this man. And like, because, you know, he comes in annoying and then mm-hmm. they do have that moment. But I think it's just that every time he comes in, he's like Aunt Flo, you know, you don't want him there, but, you know, he's coming. So, but then like at the end and at the very end of the video, and this is the thing that makes you know that this is not just a imaginary friend, at least in their mind of the video, because at the very end, while they're all passed out and all laying all over the floor, Mr. Heartache is tidying up and he covers him up with the covers and tucks him in and very mm-hmm. quietly mm-hmm. slips out. Like, he got them to party, he got him happy again.
Yeah.
He did his job, he can leave. So I think that, you know, he's always a friend, and the only difference is I know this has nothing to do with your totally random story, but
It was a ghost.
Now let's watch Antihero.
Yes, we're going to lead off with that and go on to the next song.
Well, okay.
What do you got? Do something
for... I was just going to say that in Mr. Heartache, they come up with all these random costumes.
Yeah.
The first set of costumes they have is all this fruit, and it straight up reminds me of Fruit of the Loom commercial.
And then they had like
I love
like
the weird, scary Larry the Lobster costume that
Larry
the singer
Lobster,
wears.
And then they had the bear and the mouse. And
okay, go ahead.
I got the last word on Mr. Heartache. Okay, go.
All right, here we go with Antihero. We'll be right back.
You know I don't give a damn about what's right or pleasing everyone around me. Cause I know this world that brought us life wasn't made to keep everyone happy. The rules and laws of countries come up with in front of me, that old shit. Cause there are people that I gotta protect, and if you get in my way, you see I'm tired of trying to justify every decision that I make. If it's to save the people that I stand by, you better believe what I say. Stay in the lines, don't make a scene. Heroes try to tell us what's right, but when push comes to shove, you'll know what I mean. I'm ready to start a fight. I'm gonna be the anti-hero, feeding hate by everybody. I'm gonna be the anti-hero, so I can save you when the time comes. I'm gonna be the anti-hero, feeding hate by everybody. I'm gonna be the anti-hero, yeah. Righteousness is the thing that I hate, cause it doesn't do any good for anyone. And everyone thinks everything is okay if they just obey. I don't wanna think about what they...
Just to support my ghost theory.
Oh my god.
We're back with the ghosts.
I do wanna mention that this is the same auditorium that where we had musical rehearsal, where this is like 6 o'clock at night. The whole cast is on the stage. We heard a scream come from off stage.
You know what my problem with ghost stories is? I make them up too. That's
true,
like my job.
God dang it.
So
wow, okay.
Anyways. Well, that was anti-hero.
She threw a highlighter, folks.
Yes.
But I threw it on carpet because I'm professional.
That's right.
Make noise.
And you don't want to break anything.
But with anti-hero, this was a completely different change of style.
Yeah, but I still like it.
I love it.
Bass going in with that nice bass beat.
After listening to it again, I don't know. I think that song could also
be a favorite.
Be a number one.
Be a contender
for
the
number one.
Well, maybe not necessarily just for the Billboard charts. It doesn't really even matter anymore if it goes number one. If it touches the chart, you're golden. And that's the thing. Like all of this music coming out of Japan, there's going to be some people that are just going to be like, "No, I don't listen to that. I can't understand that. It's not American."
I think the strong point is that it's translated, and that's the real that's the strongest.
They're singing in English, so that's going to help.
And here's another thing. So, I think they actually, at least one of them, if not all of them, speak English pretty fluently because it's hard to believe that that's just translated.
You never know. Sometimes they practice so hard with the English.
That's true. Maybe they can't speak English fluently or at all. But
so you just never know with the
whoever wrote those songs understood
English enough. Right.
They understood it like they watched American television. Like they knew especially like some of the ways the wording is. It's like
because
you can tell when it's just translated because a lot of it's lost in translation.
Mm-hmm. So, Lenny, Mr. Heartache was your favorite, right?
I'm still going with Mr. Heartache.
Okay. And Dragon Knight was yours.
Dragon Knight / SOS.
So he's going to pick something else.
Well, mine was actually Anti-Hero. That's what I was going to say.
I'm so torn. I like them all.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't pick a favorite.
And it's a good thing she picked, too. That way we covered everything.
Well, the thing is that this song is such a complete...
Right.
Diversion off of the all of the other songs, which is not a bad thing.
You may even want to call it a departure.
When we were first listening to it, I brought up Death Note. It was kind of Death Note-y to me, especially with some of the things that were they were bringing up. They had the apple in there and everything.
Well, and I love that the video is, you know, it's darker. It's got a table like a feast.
And that's what I love.
That for years has been such a big image of having power, hungry, and not being the nicest person around, you know, is having that feast and being
gluttonous. I thought that's what they were going for.
And I think it's very cool.
Powerful and not nice.
But they're still in costume, though. They're still in costume.
Yeah. I love DJ Love.
All right, you guys are very well versed in comics, and let's get straight down to it since that's the name of the song. Tell me exactly what the difference between a villain and an anti-hero is.
An anti-hero is not necessarily good or bad. Deadpool is a good example. Punisher is a good example. They're in it more for themselves, but they still have a set of morals they follow.
What about Spawn?
He'd be an anti-hero.
Yeah.
That's where they're lumped in together, because you got your villains, you have your heroes that are clear cut.
So what makes them different than the Joker?
The Joker is...
Because don't tell me it's killing people.
No, the Joker is straight...
Some of it's popularity. Deadpool's more popularity.
Right.
But
Punisher, Batman, Moon Knight, Spawn, they, like April said, they have a set of morals. They will follow it. That's their code. Like you said, the Punisher doesn't kill innocents.
Mm-hmm.
He just goes after the bad guys.
Which makes him a hero.
No,
to me.
But he's still killed.
But who is innocent?
So he's breaking the law.
Yeah, and
so
who does he perceive as innocent as well? Now,
Batman's kind of fuzzy because he has killed, but it's usually not purposefully.
It depends on which version of his universe you want to talk about, because he's killed Joker and a whole bunch of them, and then a whole bunch of them he won't.
Right. So he's kind of fuzzy in that.
To me,
in fact, in the Michael Keaton movie, he kills the Joker.
To me, Deadpool is an anti-hero because he... he kills everywhere. I mean, he does not care. But he does have a set of morals. I know specifically there's a time when he was fighting Daredevil, and he he got caught and everything, and he broke his fingers to get out. And he asked, Daredevil, hey, where's the nearest hospital? 5 miles from here. And then he shot a civilian, but he shot him in the leg. And I know that's, oh my God, but he made sure that the hospital was nearby. He made sure not to... hurt the civilian too much. I mean, for Deadpool too much, not in general hurting. And he made sure that the Daredevil could, save him and get it. So, even though they're not as clear-cut as, the Punisher's set of morals, to me, Deadpool does have a set.
Wolverine is another anti-hero.
Yeah.
And Ghost Rider.
To me, the difference with the Joker...
I'm going to have to be the voice of dissent tonight.
The Joker, to me, doesn't have any morals.
It rings false because...
Well, you're dissenting against a whole culture of comic book geeks.
I realize that. I mean, I'm the guy that will argue with Trekkies about the Holy Grail of Star Trek. So it's okay with me. My point is like the thing she's describing, depends on which issue of Spider-Man you're watching. Did you know Spider-Man has also killed people on accident and on purpose? And Spider-Man, and so that's what I'm saying. Like, the difference between Spider-Man and Deadpool is Peter Parker is hot. That's the difference. That's my point. Like, he's only an anti. He's a hero. He's a hero that you don't agree with their moral values because he does do heroic things.
Ooh, Deadpool?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care. I love him.
What was your comment, Jonathan?
Thinking of what he said, completely random, thinking about what he was saying about Star Trek, I watched a new Star Wars movie.
Gosh dang it.
Holy cow. Okay, let's go out the left field. Go for it.
I just have one question about that.
Keep going, Jonathan.
Was the person who played Wesley Crusher in the Star Wars movie?
Not that I saw, no.
It kind of looked like him because the guy with the...
That was
Please
worse.
Tell me that's recorded. Please tell me that's
that
recorded.
Was worse than me because he literally got Star Wars out of Star Trek out of freaking anti-hero.
What he said though, he brought up Star Trek.
No, he said speaking of Star Trek that you brought up, I was watching Star Wars.
Anyways,
no, I don't think.
But I just
I don't
it.
Think Wheaton's not in Star Wars that I know of. I did not see him anywhere.
Anyways,
but anti-hero
back to the song. I love the title, the whole idea because anti-heroes, is something near and dear to my heart. I love them more than the heroes or the villains. To me,
I just don't believe they exist, like your ghost stories. All I'm saying is like it's just a term that we created because we wanted to focus more on. Look, if you go far enough into Reddit, you can find out how the Joker is actually the hero of the Batman trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, I've read all about it. It makes sense. You can, if you flip enough things, and I mean, Anakin Skywalker is the hero. Figure that one out. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, all that means to me is that they're against. The word anti means against. Like, so if you're against a hero, you're an anti-hero. Like, and I think that's what they're trying to do with this song is they're saying we're against heroes. We want to knock down heroes and, kind of lift up.
I see it as more
regularness.
It's an unconventional hero in a sense because it is against hero. Like Deadpool can be, paid out.
And the Punisher. He didn't give a shit about any hero came and told him he was going
to
do things his way.
To me, like the simplest form would be it's a person against heroes. But has hero tendencies to me because they do have.
I'm villainous, but I have hero tendencies.
Exactly, that's kind of what it is.
That's kind of what it is.
You guys,
every now and then
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I'm not an idiot. I'm just saying that to me, you're kind of comparing apples to apples, but whatever. I mean, like, I can argue the villainy or the heroicness of any character in any Marvel Universe, Image, DC.
Well, technically, every Dark hero Horse. Is a criminal. That's
and,
what the Marvel
villain,
Civil War was
and
about.
And every villain is sort of like in, from at least, and here it is, perspective.
Yep.
From their perspective. And,
right.
And that's what we're doing. What an anti-hero is in the comic book world, I think, is we're flipping it around and looking at things through what we would have previously called the villain's perspective. Like, 50 years ago, would anyone have dared use the word hero in Deadpool? They wouldn't even have had Deadpool, probably. But
I'm trying to think of something in the movie area. Mel Gibson's character in those four cop shows, Lethal Weapon, he would be an anti-hero because he's not against killing, but he's a cop, but he'll go outside the law or Justified.
Sure.
Main character in Justified, he'd be an anti-hero.
I understand the concept.
Yeah.
To
and
me,
I get what you're saying as well.
It's like saying I'm anti-government. Let's make a big rally about it, gather support, let's get a congressman hired, you know, let's move up in the ladder, get a caucus going. You know, the whole thing was built on anti-government. Yeah, exactly. It's ironic that you like, never mind. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah, we got you.
This is a good song, by the way.
It's a great song. I love the beat.
As you can see, it's a rap.
Yeah, I love
the rapping.
The
rap in there. Uh-huh. I love that. The imagery again.
I love that it starts out with alone in a dark room with the clown playing a big bass, a double bass, not a bass guitar.
A super groovy start to the song.
Yeah,
too. Yeah.
And to me, it's kind of terrifying too. Like, if you took that out of context and showed it to Jonathan, he'd like freak.
I think all you'd have to do is use that word around Jonathan.
Well.
And plus, at the very end, where the head goes up in smoke.
Yeah, that's crazy. The piano player's head. I was like, the visual effect there is great. And I really don't know what they were trying to say with that. But whatever they were trying to say, you better heed that shit.
They're trying to say that this song just blew your mind.
There you go. Okay, yeah, that's perfect, because it did. And actually, after listening to Mr. Heartache All Day, and then listening to SOS, and then listening to Dragon Knight, and then we listened to this last, and it was my first... You know, hearing
it's
of
just
it.
Such a.
And I was literally like, I went stupid. I was like, this same band, me know what say. Ugh. You know, it was amazing because in that song, I think that they've definitely personified and captured our culture of musical interest here.
Right.
Whether that's exactly the way the culture works there, which I don't think it is.
They're kind of all over with their music. Sometimes they're a decade behind.
You mean this band particularly, or just
no,
Japan?
Just in Japan in general. Their music styles, a lot of times they're a decade behind a little bit.
But you think it's retro? It's probably on
a
purpose
bit,
that
right.
they do that, because they're definitely not technologically behind.
No.
They could have pirated all our shit years ago.
Yeah, but there's bands like other bands that are just as current as our bands over here. But then there's ones that, you know, we have some of the bands here that are going back in their styles too. So. It's kind of all over. But we're going to do the next song. It's called SOS. This one's a particular one that most people need to take notice of, and they might have already heard it. I did not. But if you watch the movie Attack on Titan, this comes from that movie. So we'll go for SOS.
People think that means happiness, and all the sounds that used to be are all just noise to you and me. The cries of the happy disappear, the silence numbs all of our ears, and when we stop listening, those screams stop meaning anything. Listen to the sound of sound.
All right, and that was SOS
from the movie Attack on Titan. Yeah,
yes,
What?
Can
what?
You hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Record.
Okay, okay. Oh, there we go.
I was like, what?
There you are. Hello.
Okay. Yeah. From Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
SOS.
Sorry.
And I love it. To me, it reminds me a lot of one of Tokyo Ghoul's entrance opening songs in the anime. And not in like a really, really big way, but just has the same vibe and has the piano riffs underneath it. And to me, this is such... I don't know. It takes you through... I don't know. To me, it takes you through like an emotional roller coaster with the way the music is presented to you. You know, from the start to the verse... with the middle with the riff and everything, and then right. with the ballad slow down chording chorus to me is very genius, because the chords you know they instantly make you, you know, they uplift you, you know. It's like, oh, so you know that little heart feeling you get,
it's almost like gospel music. I'm not saying that in a bad way.
You talk about the chorus when it comes in.
I'm just talking about the uplifting quality. It is very light heartening.
Yeah, it's not like gospel music, like
not in the religious wise. Sense.
Yeah, well, that's what that's immediately where I went. So I was like, but I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's very like uplifting.
You know, some of it isn't like, yeah, I don't know if you've heard any new gospel, but some of it isn't like that. It's not all slow and boring.
When I think of gospel music, I immediately go to spirituals, and so right. I'm thinking about the hallelujah and clap my hands, and that's just my classical side coming out. So that's why I was like, what?
I was thinking more like Amy Grant.
Okay,
you've heard of her, right?
I have, actually.
She's super famous, so yeah. It actually very much reminded me of her specifically, but just like that, you know, that it's trying to be inspirational.
Mm-hmm. No comment.
Haters.
Well, you can be inspirational.
I have no idea. Who
if you actually had, if you actually had no comment, you would could just be quiet.
Well, I love how this comes in simply with the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's a simple opening, just like with Anti-Hero. Mm-hmm. It's the bass.
With the bass,
where this one, it comes in with the piano, and it's real soft.
That was my favorite part of this song,
and it flows. And then when you hit the chorus, that's when. You just kind of, like you were saying, that's where that uplifting part just kind of
lifts
you up.
Yeah, and it's like, because the piano is, I mean, it's not like jarring, but it's kind of winding you up a little bit, you know, you're going with it. And then it's like decompresses all of a sudden, and that's, yeah, it gives you that like,
much in the same way that punk starts off kind of soft and sweet and then decompresses, but it's like... angry in your face. Yeah, but it's not like that. It's the opposite.
Right.
It's like it starts off kind of soft and kind of sweet, and then it goes to a very positive, very up, very fast, very happy place.
Which I love that as well. And so, yeah, and I think I realized in this song this time listening to it that my problem with a lot of J-pop music is that...
I knew it. She loves this one, but I knew at some point there was going to be a problem.
No, but this it's not a problem with this song. My problem with J-pop music a lot is that, with any pop in general, is that the voice is not supported. There's a difference between having a light and delicate voice and having an airy voice, unsupported voice. And in this case, the singer has a supported voice. And that is so refreshing, you know. He is not forcing himself to sound breathy and try to sound like, you know, what the society
He's just
wants.
Actually
he's
singing
actually
that
singing,
high.
He's actually singing, and he's actually singing with a really good support system, which to me, you know, like his mom, his dad, his therapist. Sorry, that's just where I went to.
They're all standing behind him.
Like, you can do it.
Lots of people on American Idol had good support systems, but it didn't help them.
But, and so that's what I'm saying. I really love it because, you know, there's a big difference, and... Mm-hmm. And to me, that's what makes the difference between being a good song and a bad song.
They say that makes
song.
A difference with AA, too, to have a support system.
It does.
Really helps when you're quitting smoking or, like, losing weight.
Man. No matter what, support.
Support.
Well, with the music video on this one, it's black and white for the most part.
Except for the part that isn't.
Except for one character.
Thank <That's>, you, Lenny.
And then we have... well, because it's from Attack on Titan, you kind of get the imagery that's going to be in this video.
I haven't seen that, so shut up.
Well,
it's
going to
be a lot of destruction, a lot of, you know,
it's dark.
Rundown stuff. It's a little bit dark. And this is one of those where it's kind of like, you know, all these nasty things have happened or bad things have happened, that you still got to be able to lift yourself up.
Since we're going to talk, I've been curious.
And it's kind of a memorial to saying, you know, yes, our friends have passed. That's why I think it's a little slow, but then it gets into that uplifting where it's like, to remember them, but don't dwell.
My thing, do we want life.
It to, I dig on that.
If I connected it a lot with Attack on Titan, to me, because in this, it reminds me a lot of a Coldplay video, this specific one.
Sure, I could see
the video, not the video, music. Yeah, the video.
Not the music.
Yeah,
it's not Coldplay.
Though I did hear a very interesting version of a Coldplay song, country version, which was really good. Anyways, off topic. But in the video,
off topic as we've been tonight, but it was a little off topic.
In the video, you know, it's yeah, like that's it's all dark, dark black and white, deserty, you know, and the only thing is like this monster kind of mop looking thing, you know, living creature that's, you know, rainbows, basically rainbow
colors. That's what I was going to say.
And if you know, since this was the song for Attack on Titan, if we compared it directly with that, if you've watched it, know anything about it, to me that monster represents Eren. Because in the midst of Attack on Titan and all the destruction and depression and the killing and the total sense of despair, Eren never gives up. He is always right there going at it from a young age. And then, then at the end of it, it shows them up. Yeah, the eventually the environment killed the creature, the monster, and it melts away in the music video. And so, like I said, yeah, we haven't finished it, so, you know, we don't know if that actually happens.
I haven't
but
started
to me,
it.
It's very symbolic. You know, well, thank goodness I didn't spoil anything for you.
Not all of it. You didn't spoil absolutely everything.
You know, or just taking this in a sense, but in general, you know, thinking of that one
Attack on Titan's
in your
a
life,
series.
That's so positive all the time.
Yeah. I've only actually ever heard it. So it has nothing to do with the old anime. Or this wasn't an anime, but it was an American cartoon movie.
No.
Titan.
No.
Or
it's completely different.
It's Shingeki no Kyojin, if you recognize that better. Because it depends on what format and everything. Depends on what you recognize it by. Because that's the Japanese title for it.
Sure, okay. but no, what I was going to say about the color guy, when mm-hmm. Richard was talking about him and everything being black and white except him, and he's not just rainbow colors, like he's neon colors, he's white.
Yeah, he is.
He's
everything.
You know, like it looks like globs of paint just kind of spilling over mm-hmm. a brush of every different color. And then, you know, that in contrast with the black and white is even more fun than just like a single color. On a right. single character, which I've seen in a lot of videos,
yeah,
or like one character in color, but they're just normal colors. Because in the video, it was just like it was hard to even concentrate on the song the first time because it was so much visual with that character moving around in that grim world. And then right. yeah, the ending is awesome. Can we talk about the ending yet?
Well, we did, yeah.
Where he melts into that puddle and then just kind of drifts away into
the
stardust.
Oh, I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful, and I think that's
pretty
metaphorical.
And you could take that
too.
As either he's dead and gone for good, or is he just going somewhere else?
Reincarnation.
Right. Yeah, just to try to start there. And, you know, like, does hope, if he does represent hope, hope really die, or does it just, you know,
that's what I was kind of seeing. Like, that character was hope, and the rest of them were, like, despair.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, yeah, it's pretty sad, actually. When you look at all the metaphors in this song, it's kind
of
sad.
Well, and that's how End of the World, all of their songs have
unlike the metaphors I found in Mr.
Awesome.
Heartache, the metaphors in this song take me to very dark places.
Which I love, too, so. But, and that's refreshing as well, that they're not making silly music, even if it does sound upbeat like Dragon Knight. It's still got a serious tone to it, which I love.
Oh yeah, no, I don't find it silly at all. And actually, like I say, from the moment I started listening to them, I was quite amazed.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, like,
well, they're using so many different styles, so many different instruments. They're
and it's very catchy. Right. Like what amazed me is I had never heard of it before, and I guess if it's brand new and they've just set it out on the world stage, then that's why. Because I have a feeling that this is a band that could really catch on.
Yeah.
Especially if they keep making videos and music of this quality in English.
The thing that connects and like songs like Antihero and Dragonite and Mr. Heartache all together is the sincerity and intensity you can hear through
exactly,
it.
Yeah.
And that, you know, because it doesn't have to be like a punk hard song
to be intense.
Yeah. And that's to me what makes a really great group. You know, if you can turn on the radio or just listen to any music and you can instantly pick up, oh, I know who this is without hearing it before, to me, that's a good group. And to me, this is what you could do that with this group.
Sure. I feel that.
Yeah.
And like we said, this is their first foray into the English market or with these four songs. They are on YouTube. You can look for them there. They have a web page. We'll put the link up there, but it is in Japanese. You could probably go to iTunes. You might be able to search for them, but I'm not positive.
I assume.
Probably eventually we'll get there, though.
One thing I would like to say about the YouTube videos, they have a lot of videos on YouTube, I've found, and a lot of them are in Japanese, sung in Japanese, but the at least two of them that I watched, I only watched two, so I can't say anything about any of the other ones that are in Japanese. They had done all the subtitles so that you could sit there and read it. And yeah, it was awesome because I liked the music. I didn't understand what they were saying, but then I could read it. So I did understand. It's, like,
yeah, it's
I can actually learn what this means if I like the way
it
sounds.
So that way you're not just bopping your head.
Yeah.
You're comprehending. Yeah. Or well, maybe we should just learn Japanese, guys.
That would be fun. That would be fun.
Let's do comic pop, learns Japanese.
Yeah.
And then Korean, and then Russian, and then, you know.
I would go in that order, except for I wouldn't put Russian third. I would do Japanese, and then Korean, and then probably Australian. No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry, Nathan.
Wow.
Then,
yay.
You want to learn the nationality?
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, that's like we were... Okay, never mind.
No, I don't know about Russian, but Russian maybe Russian.
But anyway, I think that's going to probably be about wrapping it up for us. This was an extra long episode, so we hope you enjoyed
it.
It
means we love you extra much. And every library to me should have this, bigger or
small. If they can do it, download it. If personal libraries, I'd say download it for sure, especially if you like Owl City Fun, very much within that area of music.
I was going to say Imagine Dragons, but maybe not as rocky.
Not quite that rocky,
yeah,
but they have a lot of the same kind of talent and quality.
Yeah.
Like they're quality and talented like Imagine Dragons,
like,
and they have good videos like Imagine Dragons. So, and some of it's a little similar, maybe, you know, Radioactive.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of going with.
And this is one definitely, like Lenny and April's been saying, watch the videos with them. That adds to the experience, not just the songs. Listening to the songs is great, but the videos just add to it. Again, we've been listening to Sakai no Owari. We appreciate Amanda Carney Harris and Black Panda PR for sending them our way. So we appreciate that, Amanda. Thank you very much. And to Sakai no Owari, great stuff. I've enjoyed it. I love it.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work.
And with that, I think we'll do it. We've been having fun. Hope everybody's had fun out there listening. We'll see you on the flip side.
Bye.
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 See ya.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me. I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination. I know that just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's only the moment that I don't wanna miss. And what I'm trying to say, well, I don't know, but I thought it was important just a minute ago. What I'm dying to say can't even be bought, cause I lost my ticket on the train of thought.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.